Greetings, growers from around the globe. Jordan River here, and I hope that seed you popped is a female. Today we have Ashley from Pit Moss on the line. Pit Moss is super, super interesting. This is an inert paper waste-based product, and they just reached out to us. We thought what they were doing was really cool, and we wanted to share it with you guys. It's one of those episodes that I hope will change the way you look about grow mediums. And I think they really deserve to step in the spotlight and talk about their mission, which I think could actually really change a lot of the waste industry. I know you're going to love today's episode. But first, shout out to Cultilux, CULTILUX.com, our choice partners for CMH lighting. Don't sleep on that HID CMH lighting, baby. Lovely, lovely spectrum. Provides a nice amount of warmth, too. You know, I'm growing in the basement, and when winter rolls around, it's hard to keep those temps up, man. You don't want to be supplementing with heat. Grab yourself a nice HID CMH spectrum, of course. Grab it from Cultilux.com. Tell them Growcast sent you. And they are the premium industry-leading manufacturers of CMH. A lot of growers still loving this spectrum, including myself in the 3x3. Rizzo Rich using it in his grow. I just saw Lovin' in Her Eyes posted that she's still growing HID, baby. Listen, don't sleep on it. It's a good option, folks. Cultilux.com. For all of your CMH needs, tell them that Growcast sent you. Great friends of the show over there. Cultilux, everybody. All right, let's get into it with Ashley from Pit Moss. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to Growcast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Before we get started, I urge you, as always, to spread the show. Share Growcast, hit subscribe so you catch every episode. And check out patreon.com/growcast for boatloads of bonus content, hundreds of hours of members-only content up there for just 10 bucks a month, plus the Discord and so much more, all that good stuff. Today, though, we are here on the main podcast, and we have a very special episode, a unique one. We're featuring, I'm just going to say it again, a very unique brand in the cannabis space that is doing some very interesting stuff. From Pit Moss, we have our guest Ashley on the line today. How's it going, Ashley?
Hey, how are you? I'm so excited to be here.
Woohoo! Yes, I am excited to have you. I'm doing very well. Pit Moss has been on my radar for a long time. I mean, we talk about growing on this show. We talk about all aspects of growing, all styles of growing, but sustainability is something that comes up a lot on this show. And as you know, peat is a hot topic in the sustainability world. So one day someone DM'd me and said, have you heard of these guys? Pit Moss. They have a peat alternative. You got to check them out. And you've been on my radar ever since. So thank you for coming on the show.
Of course.
Let's start at the beginning. Talk to me just briefly about the mission of Pit Moss, how you got involved, and just how it all came about.
Yeah. I mean, I hopped on board with the company about maybe 6 years ago. And we had only one product. And to be honest, it wasn't ready for prime time. And this was after Shark Tank aired. So we've done so much work in this past 5 years, really trying to fulfill that original vision that our founder had. So if I could just take a step back here and just kind of go through that story, because I think it is a really cool story to tell and really illuminates like why something like Pit Moss really is needed in not just the cannabis space, but the horticultural space. So our founder, Mont Hanley, brilliant dude, he was working in garden centers. And as you know, every plant you buy, every bag of potting soil, if it's not compost or, you know, forested wood products, funny ears with air quotes, because you don't really know what that is, you are going to be using peat moss. You're purchasing peat moss in your house plants. So he's seeing truckloads and truckloads of peat moss come in. And he happened to have like a Sierra magazine, and he reads about the total destruction and environmental costs of actually using peat moss. And it goes against everybody's like basic instincts, because you're gardening, you're growing stuff. You're like, I'm doing something amazing for the planet. And all at the same time, little does anybody know that they're using basically a fossil fuel to grow their plants. So peat is a mined product. I mean, they call it extracting, but it's really mining a product.
Extracting is so much more gentle and scientific, isn't it?
I know, right? actually sounds a little more intense. I don't know, but they peat is made up of bog plants that have decomposed over a millennia. Mm-hmm. Their only peat lands where you'll find this peat is only in about 3% of the world's Earth's surface. So there are it's not, you know, very large amounts of peat lands that we have to extract or mine from. But they are critical for a number of things, breeding animals, for example, wildlife, managing water, all of it's like they're just intense, awesome ecosystems. So when we try to get that peat that's buried underneath and has been growing again over a millennia underneath the wetland, we have to completely strip that wetland, destroy that ecosystem, and then we have to extract the peat from beneath it. Mm. So we're draining the whole entire bog. So we're draining all of the life and the water out of that bog. And then we are exposing the peat that has been tucked away, sequestered for, again, millennia. We're exposing it to air. The second that happens, it turns into carbon dioxide and nitrous oxide, releasing tons of harmful greenhouse gases. So we're not only destroying an ecosystem, we're also exposing the atmosphere to tons of carbon and nitrous oxide.
Whoa.
And then we're trucking it all over the planet. So right. it's a logistical nightmare. So there's tons of negatives when using peat, and it's just not a story people are told. Like, I don't fault anybody for going out there and using peat, because it is really the soil industry's dirty little secret. So, you know.
Well, no, I think you're right. I think we give a lot of focus on what pesticides are you using. I think we give a lot of focus to what about those synthetic chelated salt-based nutrients? But very rarely do we hear people talking about the environmental impact of peat. And like you said, the dirty little secret, coming from you, it sounds a lot different than what a lot of these companies say, like, oh no, it's sustainably harvested. Like, I didn't know you had to know, just know.
Yeah, there is, I applaud them for attempting to recreate something that Mother Earth did over again a millennia. But I don't think where humankind can actually fully restore something again, it is so intensive, and you can never cap back those carbon emissions. Mm. So again, after kind of going back to our origin story, after hearing all of this, he was like, there's got to be a better way. I mean, why are we potting up our plants from peat that has been mined, you know, thousands and thousands of miles away? It's right. So destructive. And he was thinking back to his grandma, who used a lasagna garden, meaning she would layer cardboard and newsprint in her tomato garden. And he was like, I wonder if we could actually like make a soil media out of recycled paper. And I will tell you, we get a lot of accusations like, you all are just grinding up paper. How hard can that be? Well, I can tell you, Mont tried grinding up paper for like 7 to 10 years to figure out how to actually process it in a way that it didn't turn into like an art project, meaning paper mache, because you grind up paper and you put water on it. It's not going to have the aeration. It's not going to have the water management properties that you need to actually become a true soil media for something to grow in and grow really well in. So it took us a good 10 years to figure that piece out, the physical properties of processing this paper in a way. So that's why we have, you know, patent pendings over our machinery and our mixer, because breaking down this paper that we get, and it's all organic, by the way, that we bring in, you know, it took a really long time to figure that piece out. So that was really it. It started with a Cuisinart blender. And 10 years later, we have a factory here in Ambridge, Pennsylvania, just outside Pittsburgh, where we are processing, you know, tons and tons of what would end up in the landfill paper waste. And we're turning into really high quality soil growing media that really does not require any peat. And it's fantastic. It's really a joy to work here and know that we're really attempting to make a difference and really disrupt the soil ecosystem. So real quick, I know I'm rambling because I could talk about this all day long, but big vision is, you know, right now you have a couple main sources all around the globe where peat's being extracted and it's then being shipped to it mixed with various different blends, shipped everywhere. Like our big vision is to have a hyper local soil economy. I mean, just imagine every municipality has a waste paper problem, right? We could tap into and have a little pit moss facility in every location, you know, every metropolitan city. You know, it doesn't have to be pit moss. It can be Denver moss. It can be Cincinnati moss. It can be Phoenix moss. And all your local waste is being turned into local soils. We have animal bedding. So that's our
incredible.
Big vision.
Incredible.
It takes us a little while.
I love that type of mission where you're taking a huge problem, a huge waste sector, and then leveraging that unused resource.
Yeah.
That really, really flips my cookie. Very, very cool stuff.
It is. It really is.
We just got to get right into it. How well does this stuff work? I mean, is it just like changing out for a pit moss? Sorry. Is it just like changing it out for a peat moss based product? Or is it more like a cocoa, or how does it work?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I want to be very sensitive to the fact that I know cannabis is different, and cannabis can be a challenge only because the fertilizing can be so intense.
Sure.
And people are so used to watering and fertilizing so much with peat based products that you really can reduce that with our products. Mm. So when you're talking about typical landscape potted plants, like my raised beds are filled with this stuff, you really can treat it just like you would a peat-based product. With cannabis, we always like to say you can really reduce your fertilizer, you can reduce your watering almost by half. We're working with a cannabis grower I can't mention, but a medically licensed one that might be reducing the fertilizer inputs by 80%. Whoa. So yeah, so it's the implications are very high. We would love even more experience in this sector, to be honest. That's why I'm really excited about the opportunity to talk with you all today, because we are working with a pretty large handful of growers. But you know, the longer we're around, the more trials we can do, we can understand this better and really get a handle on how we can grow really great plants. But we've increased THC. We've had wonderful experience so far, but there is going to be a difference. You'll notice right away that it holds on to those nutrients and it holds on to that water much better. So a lot less runoff.
Really interesting. Well, first of all, you know, not the forces you toy with. If you put a call out for any sort of trials, you will get flooded with GrowCast members. You can send me a bag. I'd love to put one plant in it.
Of course. I was just going to say, I'm like kind of kicking myself for not doing that ahead of time. Yeah.
It's all good. We just booked.
Yeah. We'll definitely get you out of bag. Hit us up at Pitmoss Official, our Instagram page. Just DM us there. I literally just got off with our sales team talking about a cannabis outreach strategy where we want to identify a bunch of different influencers and growers that would love to try a bag of Pitmoss. So yeah, hit us up. We are totally open to that. We'd love to hear your feedback, and we're pretty open. We're very interested in learning how we can grow the best cannabis out there using our product. And because we know this industry influences the rest of the horticulture industry. We know that. And so the opportunity to work with you guys and get it on the map in this industry is key for us.
Yeah, that's a very wise approach that you have there. And we have lots of growers with good followings on Instagram listening to the show right now. So I'm sure you'll get some good messages there. And you're absolutely right. Anyone who's not leaning into the cannabis sector with ag, I mean, first of all, you're just leaving tons of money on the table. And then secondly, like you said, all of the leading horticultural advancements in science and research is coming out of cannabis. You know, it usually comes from the cash crops, and this is the biggest cash crop right now. So
yes. Yeah. You hit the nail on the head there. A couple of things I want to say about the performance too. What also is extremely exciting. We're working a lot in like the regenerative sector and living soils, and really interesting things we're finding about the biology that we can create within our, even just our pots. So the idea behind this is, one, you have really good aeration. So if you put peat, like a fiber of peat underneath a microscope, you're going to get a very linear like looking fiber. Whereas pit moss, if you put it a piece of the fiber underneath, it looks like a pillow. So there's actually airspace in the fiber and lots of airspace around the fiber. So you get really good air exchange.
Wow.
And then on top of that, pit moss is a ton of readily available carbon. So that's number one food for microbes, right? So you're just having this really like primed environment. The second you add biologicals to it, it is going to take off. In fact, it's a challenge for us with bagging the products because it just wants to start to compost. You know, Whoa. It wants to start to do its work right away. So we had to have holes in the side of the pockets. I mean, I've had in our, we originally used mushroom compost and we had mushrooms growing out the side of the bags. So we, and you know, your 80-year-old grandma at the garden center is like, what the heck? So we had to change that up because we had to be mindful of all of our consumers, but it is amazing. And we're really, really excited about the regenerative and living soil and all those buzzwords you're hearing nowadays, but we feel we have major implications to really help revitalize soil and again, overall reduce your actual, you know, synthetic fertilizers inputs that we're using today.
We'll be right back with Ashley. Before that though, Foop, shout out to the Foop. Go to thefoop.com. Try using our codes Growcast and Growcast Forever, but most importantly, get on the Foop, baby. Foop is a fish waste-based nutrient line, and it is certified organic. There are not a lot of certified organic nutrient lines out there. Foop really pulled out all the stops to get those certifications, and they are absolutely blowing up right now, and for good reason. It is a five-part nutrient line, once again, based on fish poop. You've got the veg AMB, the bloom AMB, and the sweetener, which you use the entire time. It'll carry you the whole way through. Get those delicious terps to express by putting in the microbe-packed and fish poop-packed Foop into your rhizosphere. Rhizo-Rich, speaking of rhizo, loves the Foop. He was using this in a super soil mix. I recommend using it in an inert style grow. There's a lot of ways you can utilize this product as a bloom booster in a super soil, or just as your main nutrient line. And man, we're really happy with the results that comes out of the Foop. Throw in a little SLF, keep things spick and span, and I'm telling you, you're really gonna enjoy the Foop. Find them in your local hydro store or at thefoop.com, everybody. Thank you to Foop. All right, let's get back to our guest, Ashley from Pit Moss. It's smart of you to double down on the organic living soil side, but I like when people focus in on one issue because we can't do everything, right? What's that quote about sustainability? We don't need a small handful of people doing sustainable practices perfectly. We need millions of people doing them imperfectly.
Yes.
So for you to just focus in on the peat thing, because I see you also have like controlled release fertilizer blends, to focus in on the peat thing is smart, but then mixing it with living soil, that's going to be the way to go because that's going to be the real, I mean, think about it. I see your vision. Local paper recycling, repurposing facilities with then natural inputs going hand in hand with the regenerative movement. It's a beautiful one. And that's why I had you on today. We don't have a partnership with Pit Moss, dear listener. I just like to feature brands that are really doing something interesting. And then specifically, of course, the sustainability side really excites me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and you'll probably notice on our site, and here's a kicker. I went off on a rant about peat, which I love the opportunity to do, but we actually sell blends with peat in them. I mean, the reality is we're selling to fifth generation farmers that, you know, we walked in the door trying to sell them our grower grade material, which is a commercial blend that we have. And they were like, get out of here. Like, there's no way we're buying that stuff. And, or we would sell them and they would just blend it with peat anyways. And we couldn't really guarantee the product because if there was an issue, it could have easily been the wetting agent and the peat wore off, but no, it's the new input pit moss. So we wanted to be able to guarantee a product and capture those sales as a baby company. We have to get all the sales that we can. We can't just leave stuff on the table. So we were like, you know what? We'll take a little more control of this issue and introduce people into a different way of growing.
But this is, it's a blend though. The peat reduced.
Yes.
So you stepped peat on reduced. It with the pit moss. That's interesting.
You're
literally carrying your biggest competition though.
I know. It's kind of ironic in a way, but it helps people start to see a different way of growing because you'll notice right away with using our PM line, you know, you'll reduce your watering and then you're like, why do I even need this peat stuff anyways? And, you know, we're on our third year with some of our growers that have been using that stuff, and they are starting to go to 50-50 blends.
Right.
And 75-25 blends. So now we're starting to move them off that whole peat paradigm that they're so used to growing in. Because it's everything. Their watering habits, their training habits, the pots that they use, everything is designed to work with peat, which is naturally hydrophobic.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. You don't want that peat to get dry. Yeah, I see it's like a 60% blend on this one here. But
yeah.
So I would love to, you sell just the raw pit moss as well, right?
Yes.
With no perlite.
Yeah, so that's pit moss prime. I'll kind of walk you through. Pit moss prime has no fertilizers in it. So you can use that as a one-to-one peat replacement. You can use it blended with compost. You can fertilize it yourself. So that's, again, pit moss prime. No peat, nothing in there. It's completely, that would be like our raw product that everything else is built upon. Then we have Performance, which has a controlled release fertilizer. Mm-hmm. You can use that as is. It's killer, but it's not organic.
Yeah.
So again, it has a controlled release in there. And then Plentiful, all organic. So you have composted bovine manure, all OMRI listed nutrients provided in there. So that's our main lineup. And then we also have a cocoa product. So we have Cocoa Complete, where we took a long time sourcing this coconut for. So it's really quality stuff. It was really hard for us to find some really good quality coconut core that we were happy with. But it's 40% coconut core, 60% pit moss.
Wow. These are cool blends. I mean, this is why I wanted to feature you guys. I think people are going to check this out. And I think that some people are going to give it a shot, man. Really interesting.
Yeah,
Looking at the Plentiful blend, it seems like it's kind of your guys' answer to the organic soils.
Yes.
No perlite, just pit moss, paper fibers, and the nutritional components, and that's it.
That's it. And in fact, we are used as a perlite replacement in some growers' blends because of that aeration I was talking
Jeez.
About. No need for perlite. In fact, we added to our PM1, that one of those peat-based blends.
Yeah.
We added to it just for aesthetics because people are used to seeing it. That's it.
Begrudgingly, you add the perlite. I mean, listen, it does work. But, I was going to say, I'm going to get some of this and mix it with rice hulls or whatever. But you're saying it's unnecessary. You just run just the paper fibers.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we've engineered it to do, is to be a standalone soil on its own. And we will continue to improve those products, year after year. That's our goal, is to engineer. It's like an engineered compost almost. So if you had the ability to, design a soil from the ground up, what would you have it do? You'd have it have great airspace, great water management properties, good biological activity. And that's what we're doing here. That's what our soil scientists are working on every day. We're managing that. And so that's the cool thing about it, is you really can grow in recycled material.
And taking a look at the actual, I urge everyone to go to pitmoss.com just to take a look at the product pictures, because the second picture down on each of the blends is a handful of just pit moss paper fibers. And you can see little colored shreds of paper. You can tell instantly that this was real paper product, and then most of it has broken down into this kind of fibrous, mossy looking substance.
Yeah, it's totally interesting, and people feeling it when we go to trade shows and stuff, they're like, whoa, this is so unique and cool.
Oh,
and it's like soft to the touch and spongy. So
I'm all
yeah
in.
it's cool.
I'm all in. I'm definitely willing to give this a shot, and I think you're going to you're going to make some waves. But what really concerns me is the sustainability factor of the peat.
Yeah.
Because like you said, if this is something that takes eons, like you said, growing in a fossil fuel, it's equivalent to growing in a fossil fuel. That's very eye-opening.
It is, yeah.
Do you see a future where peat costs rocket, or the supply chains start to deplete because of lack of supply?
I think it's like the oil argument. I think peat will be available for a long time, just because there is, a fair amount of supply still left, especially in Canada and Lithuania. However, it is, again, a depleting resource. So I don't know. Talk to me 20 years from now, I'll probably have a very different, very different take on that. Right. So it's generational. Right. So, where we live in such a society where it's like, if it doesn't happen in the next 20 seconds, it doesn't
matter.
Yeah,
who cares? Right? It's our kids' problem. that we'll let them worry about that.
Exactly. Yeah. So we're finding, though, that the availability is definitely a struggle for people, and we've capitalized on that, right? So it's not, you know, some people aren't fulfilling orders right now until September, October, where we're able to ship right away. So that's been a benefit for us. And I've talking to a West Coast distributor at the moment that we are finally priced in line with some of the pea products because those have gone up significantly.
That's right. And then if you can't get your brand of peat and you go and you get a different peat, sometimes there's inferior peats out there and then you have trouble growing them because cannabis is very sensitive. And I don't know, back to the harvesting, it's like with oil, I'm sure I know there's all sorts of problems with pumping oil out of the ground, but I think that the peat harvesting is unique because it sounds like from your take that you literally have to first clear the ecosystem on a kind of 2D basis. You know what I mean? Like you're wiping out swaths of land covering the earth as opposed to going down. You know, I sound so stupid articulating this, but you know what I'm saying, right? Like you're actually wiping out ecosystem just to begin the process.
Yeah. Just to fill our pots and planters here in the US. Yeah. I mean, I encourage all you have to do is Google search it. I mean, some of these peat extracting companies and the trucks and stuff that they use and the vehicles that they use. I mean, they have promo videos of how well they strip the earth. So
yikes.
So yeah, you don't have to take it from me. Yeah. I mean, we're really proud of what we're doing here. I mean, I actually was just looking up in 2020 alone, we prevented 81,000 cubic feet peat moss from being extracted. That's equivalent to like 811 metric tons of CO2 emissions.
Damn.
So
that is very
811
cool.
metric tons. And that's like driving over 2 million miles in a car.
Wow. So, that is super cool. You guys got to feel super proud about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got to dig down on one thing you said, though. You said Canada and then you said Lithuania, which I thought was interesting. Talk about where these peats are coming from and what it means to us.
Yeah. So that's really it. So Ireland would be another source of peat. Actually, in the UK, they've gotten wise about it because they actually have pretty much depleted their peat. They use peat as a fuel for many previous generations.
Oh, wow.
They would actually use peat as roofing material because it repels water so well. So,
whoa.
So it's so interesting. So in the UK, the government has banned selling peat in garden centers. So they've wisened up to this a lot faster than we have. So you aren't getting any peat from really Western Europe. I mean, most of the peat bogs right now are found that we extract from for horticultural use in Canada. And then Pinstrup, I think theirs comes from Lithuania. So the largest peat bog has actually been found in the Congo, but luckily it's covered in forest and we're crossing our fingers that it's not touched or impacted.
Right.
But most of our peat is coming from North America.
We tend to go to, when we need the resources, we tend to go to those countries and say, hey, we're here now.
Yeah.
Sales of peat compost to gardeners to be banned from 2024. Funding for restoration of peatlands and tripling of tree planting in England also announced. So it's all, you're right, it's all environmentally based. And no more peat in just a few years here to be found in UK garden stores.
Yeah.
Well, what is that? London Moss? Londonmoss.uk?
London Moss. Yeah, I know, right? That we're coming for you, Europe.
Oh, that's too funny. Got that that English paper. All those English teabag tags can be used to make fertilizers. That's what
we're
going to do.
That's right.
Yes, 100%. Yes. I'm sorry. Damn it. I botched the joke. I said fertilizers. I meant media. You guys got it.
Yeah. Or compost tea.
Yes. Compost tea. A cuppa. All right, Ashley, what do you got on the horizon? What's Pit Moss's future like? What can you tell us here before we do plugs and then wrap it up?
Yeah. So, I mean, we just love this opportunity, right? So we really are a small company. There's about 10 of us full time here at Pit Moss headquarters. So we all are just so open to any opportunity to work with growers out there, companies that are interested in reducing their environmental impact. And our vision really is to grow this company. So our next step is to have a facility on the West Coast. We're in some discussions with some folks out there in the West Coast. That's the natural pace of things for us. So keep your eye out in the next couple years, probably in the next 2 years here. We actually are opening up a facility in Lebanon. It's a nonprofit backed philanthropic project that we're doing to help the Bekaa Valley region. So we're turning it, using waste from all the refugee camps there and providing jobs and building a facility. And again, improving their soil. So we're getting rid of a lot of the waste that found in the refugee plants. We're also improving the native soil there to grow more food and healthy food for these people that are impacted. So that's really exciting. We're hoping to have that plant up online in the next year and a half. So that's what's really exciting is like new facilities, because then we can get it cheaper into more people's hands. So that's the most exciting things that we have going on. I'd also encourage you, if anyone's interested, of course, reach out to us at PitMoss Official, our Instagram page, or info@pitmoss.com if you're interested in doing a trial. And then, yeah, just support us and talk about us. Like we haven't gone viral yet. So creating some buzz around our company would be incredible. That would really, really help us meet our goals and hopefully really disrupt this dirty industry.
Just pardon the pun. I love the pun
at the end of
it. Yeah, absolutely love it. Well, I look forward to running a plant in this stuff. I've been trying all sorts of different medias and now trying different fertigation styles, shying away from living, departing from living soil. But I will try to incorporate this pit moss for a run and see what's up. I'm very enamored with your brand and your mission. So,
fantastic.
So yeah, I'm grateful for you coming on today, and I hope to be part of that mission, Ashley.
Thank you so much. Love the opportunity, and I can't wait to send you a bag and hear your thoughts.
We look forward to it here. You heard it, everybody. Pitmoss.com, PITTMOSS.com. They're based out of Pittsburgh. That's where the pit moss comes from there. Go and give them a follow on Instagram, PitMoss Official. As Ashley said, give us a follow as well while you're up there at Growcast. Also follow at Growcast Live, our backup/live stream account. And that's all. We have Ashley from PitMoss and me, Jordan River, signing off, saying be safe out there, everybody. We'll see you next time. Grow smarter.
Thank you.
That's our show for today, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in before we wrap it up. AC Infinity, of course, our choice partners for ventilation and more. ACinfinity.com. Code GROWCAST15 for 15% off. Your ventilation, your tents, their Cloud Lab series are so sick, affordable, and thick. That's with two C's. Plus, they've got scissors and grow room glasses and fabric pots, everything you need at AC Infinity. They're taking over. Use code GROWCAST15 for 15% off. And be sure to send us a snapshot of you using any of our codes to win free seeds each and every month. Hit us up on Instagram with those snapshots or email contact@growcastpodcast.com. But AC Infinity really has the whole package. They're even coming out with lights soon, so stay tuned for that. And they're going to be putting out a whole series, basically everything you need to grow in style and grow quality cannabis at home. ACI and Growcast, a match made in heaven, of course. ACinfinity.com, code GROWCAST15 for 15% off. All right, everybody. I know you enjoyed this one. Very, very interesting episode. I have got some pit moss myself now, and I'm super excited to implement this stuff. So stay tuned, everybody, and we will see you next time on Growcast. Bye-bye.